Brother, appreciate that gun humble prayer so much. Such a sweet privilege and opportunity to be with you tonight and to be able to join most Wednesday nights. And good to see everybody's faces on the screens and brethren and sisters that we love so much. And we just want to pray that the Lord will be with us tonight. And we realize how greatly we need his help tonight. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Judges chapter 6. When Brother James asked me to speak tonight, I quickly got this on my mind and for diligently praying, it's not left my mind. So I hope and trust it's of the Lord and that the Lord will be with us tonight. Judges chapter 6 begins with some troubling times, the nation of Israel. Brother Tracy in his prayer mentioned that we go through troubles. Said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The Bible doesn't leave us to wonder why Israel was suffering. Israel was suffering because they had done evil, and the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. 7 years is a long time. We just went through that battle with COVID, and when you look back on it, I'd say it lasted roughly 2 years. It seemed like a long time, didn't it? Think about 7 years. God can and does punish nations. Some people have asked me, Brother Mark, is God punishing America? I'm always hesitant to say because here we have scriptural authority to say that God was punishing Israel and that he punished them and delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. I have no such scriptural authority to say if God is judging America. I certainly would say America's got some sins that are doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And we certainly see that the Lord has judged nations that did evil in his sight. Notice it said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. What's our standard? Our standard is the sight of the Lord. It's not what Mark Quarles thinks, and it's not what you think. Is what the Lord thinks is what matters. Wise man Solomon would pen these words under the inspiration of God. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But we don't need to do what we think's right or what somebody else thinks right. We need to do what the Lord says is right. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of Midian for 7 years. This deliverance was pretty catastrophic. Whenever the children of Israel would sow their crops and they'd be about ready to harvest the crops, here come the Midianites. And they come in multitude. The Bible said they came like grasshoppers, and they destroyed everything that the children of Israel had worked so hard for. They were so afraid that they would hide in the caves and they would hide in the dens of the earth, and they made themselves fortresses because they were so afraid of the enemy. The Bible says in verse 6 of Judges 6 that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They went to the only place they could go to, and that's to the Lord. There's an old song that says, where would I go but to the Lord? When our enemies have come against us, and maybe we hadn't done right, but when we feel the impoverishing of our enemies, where would we go but to the Lord? And even though Israel had done wrong, our Lord is gracious. And even though Israel had sinned, God is going to show them grace, and he's going to show them mercy, and he's even going to bring them deliverance. He first sends them a prophet. This prophet doesn't say things that might please their Adamic nature. Now, I don't know that we've got prophets today, but we got preachers today. And one of the things God calls preachers to do, we're certainly to comfort ye my people. Say, if your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. But we're also to preach the truth of God's word. And sometimes the truth of God's word, Mark Quarles, has flashed my old Adam nature. It don't feel too good. And it doesn't maybe feel too good to your old Adam nature at times. The Lord sent him a prophet. And the prophet says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Right before the Lord's going to deliver them, he says, you done wrong. And I'll tell you, sometimes the Lord's deliverance comes to us after we realize we done wrong. And we need to do it the Lord's way. You know, God's way is always the best way. Man can come up with all kind of schemes. Man can come up with all kind of systems. Man can come up with all kind of additions to the church. But I'll tell you, the Lord's way is always the best way. An angel of the Lord appears unto a man named Gideon. Gideon's a farmer. Bible said he's threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Now, you usually thresh wheat in the threshing floor. But Gideon's not threshing the wheat in the threshing floor because he's scared. So he's hiding out by the wine press because he's afraid. And here an angel of the Lord appears to him, this man that's scared, this man that's afraid, and this man that's hiding. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been scared? Have you ever been hiding? I'll tell you, I have. And look at what the angel of the Lord says unto him in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That word valor means strength. It means might. It means courageous. Well, I'm going to tell you, a scared man that's hiding from the enemy don't feel very strong and feel very courageous and feel very mighty. But I'm going to tell you, if the Lord's with him, a scared man, a fearful man can be a mighty man of valor if the Lord's with us. And Gideon said unto him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The Lord's already told him, I'm with thee. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He's saying, have not I sent thee? You see, without the Lord, we're weak and we can do nothing. But with the Lord, we can do great things. The Apostle Paul, in writing unto the church at Philippi, would say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, Bible says we're able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Gideon would say, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Gideon saw himself to be very lowly. He saw himself to be very unworthy. He saw himself to be very weak. But you know, the Lord's got a habit of using the weak things to show forth his strength. Do you remember what the Lord would tell the Apostle Paul? When the Apostle Paul prayed three times very fervently, Lord, please remove my thorn in the flesh. The prayer of the mighty apostle, praying fervently three times, Lord, please remove my thorn in the flesh. The Lord would respond unto the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's why the Lord's going to use Gideon, who's not a military man. He's a farmer. And God's going to use a farmer to win one of the greatest military victories in the Word of God. You see, God doesn't do things like man does things. If you were going to pick a man to try to whip the enemy, and the enemy vastly outnumbers you, would you pick a farmer? I'd pick a farmer if I wanted him to go grow crops for the king. I'd pick a farmer if we needed him to tend to the vineyard. But I wouldn't pick a farmer for a great military battle. But you see, the Lord doesn't do things like man would do them. And he's going to take a farmer. He's going to take a man that's poor in Manasseh, who says, I'm the least in my father's house. And God's going to use that man to do great things. That's why the Lord, that theme of the Lord's strength being made perfect in weakness, is all over the Bible. That's why the Lord would use a little shepherd boy to win the great battle against the great giant Goliath. That's why God would use Moses, a man who described himself, Lord, I'm of a slow speech and I'm of a slow tongue to be the spokesman to the most powerful king upon the face of the globe at that time, because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's why God uses weak, mortal men to preach his gospel. He could have had Gabriel come, speaking with the tongue of angels. He could have had Michael, the archangel, come. But no, he chose to get sinful, weak, unworthy man to preach his wondrous gospel, because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. He reminds Gideon, he said, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. He keeps reminding Gideon, Gideon, yes, you're weak. Gideon, yes, you're yes, this job is bigger than you are, but I will be with thee, and everything's going to be okay if I'm with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And Gideon asked for a sign in verse 17. Show me a sign that thou talkest with me. He said, basically, I'm going to go make you a meal, and you stay here till I get back. And the angel of the Lord said, I'll tarry. I'll stay here. And that's the first sign that God so graciously gives unto Gideon is that angel waits there. Now, Gideon does a lot of stuff. The Bible said in verse 19, he made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. Now, you sisters know better than I do, but that sounds like that'd take a long time to me. But the angel waited. You know, the Lord sometimes waits on us, and we ought to be willing to wait on him. Sometimes we're very impatient. But how often has the Lord waited on me? And here the angel of the Lord waits on Gideon and waits all that time. Gideon comes back. The angel of God says, you lay all this stuff you fixed and you lay it upon this rock. And it said, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. You see, the Lord accepted the sacrifice that Gideon offered on that rock. Now the Lord is going to give Gideon a tough job. You see, Gideon, in addition to being a farmer, he's the son of a Baal worshiper. He grew up in a Baal worshiping home. And the first job God's going to give to Gideon is you tear down the altar of Baal. That's your daddy's altar. You tear it down and you build an altar to the Lord on this same rock where God accepted the sacrifice. You see, the place that the Lord wanted Gideon to worship was the place where the sacrifice was accepted by God. You know what our worship centers around tonight? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he said, I'll know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our worship centers around where the sacrifice was accepted. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross for my sins and yours was accepted by God the Father. And our worship is focused upon that tonight. So God tells Gideon, you tear down your daddy's altar of Baal and you build upon this rock an altar to the Lord. You know, there's a great principle in that, that we just don't need to get bad stuff out of our life. We need to replace it with something good. If y'all were to tell me tonight, Brother Mark, you just sit in your office chair and you just clear your mind and you don't think about anything bad, that'd be a hard task for me to accomplish. But if you tell me something good to put on my mind, it'd be a lot easier for me to not think about something bad. You see, we need to get rid of the good, but we get rid of the bad, but replace it with something good. I remember when President Ronald Reagan was trying to quit smoking, and he replaced that smoking with eating jelly beans. And I don't know that eating jelly beans is the best thing in the world, but it's probably better than smoking. So he tried to get rid of something and replace it with something, because he knew if he just left it bare, he was maybe replace it with an even worse habit. And so Gideon does that. He tears down his father's altar to Baal. And the first thing that happens after he's obedient to the Lord, it's not a bed of roses for Gideon. Because he does it at night because he's afraid of his father's house and he's afraid of the men of the city that are also Baal worshipers. And the first thing that happens is the whole city comes out and wants to kill Gideon. So here he's done what the Lord's told him to do. He's torn down the altar of Baal and he's built in its place the altar to the Lord. But the first thing that happens, he's in tough shape. The whole city wants to kill him. I'm going to tell you, little child of God, sometimes when we do the right thing, this old world ain't going to like it. Sometimes when we do the right thing, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a bed of roses. But look at what the Lord does. They come out to get Gideon, and Gideon's daddy basically says, why are y'all taking up for Baal? If Baal's a god and Baal's so strong and Baal's so powerful, won't you let Baal take care of the man that pulled down his altar? Baal doesn't need any help if Baal's a great god. So Gideon's father defended Gideon, but look what happens in verse 33. Right after the whole city wants to kill him, said, then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the spirit, and that word spirit's capitalized, spirit of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. By the way, Gideon's name means one who cuts down or hews down. And that's the first thing he got Gideon to do was tear down the altar of Baal. But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet and Abiezer was gathered after him. These same folks that wanted to kill Gideon are the same folks that when the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, they're now following Gideon, ready to follow him into battle. I'll tell you, the spirit of the Lord makes a big difference. And what a blessing when the spirit of the Lord is with us. It makes all the difference in the world. Gideon's still worried. The Lord's already given him a sign. The angel of the Lord had waited on him till he got back. He said, Lord, I need another sign. I'm gonna put a fleece of wool out tonight. And I want in the morning the fleece of wool to be very wet and the ground around it to be very dry. And then I'll know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou said. So he wakes up the next morning, and that's exactly what he sees. The fleece of wool is so wet that he's able to wring it out, and it fills up a bowl full of water, but the ground around it's very dry. Oh, Gideon says, Lord, don't be mad at me, but I got to ask for another sign. This time in the morning, let the ground around it be very wet, but the fleece be dry. And Gideon just keeps asking for a sign, asking for a sign. He wants to know for sure that the Lord's sending him. And I'll tell you, my heart kind of goes out to Gideon. When the Lord's asked us to do something hard, we kind of want to know for sure that he's sending us. And I think of the great grace that the Lord showed unto Gideon and giving him sign after sign after sign in his grace and his mercy and his love. You see, the Lord was willing for Gideon to have no doubt. Yes, I'm sending you. And yes, I'll be with you. How many times has the Lord reminded us when he sent us somewhere that he's going to be with us in the good times or in the bad times? He's promised Hebrews chapter 13 to never leave us nor forsake us. How many times in our life has the Lord confirmed that promise to us? The children of Israel are gathered together, and the enemies of Israel, all these Midianites and all of their allies, have gathered around them. The children of Israel, beginning of chapter 7, pitched by the well of Herod. That well means the fountain of trembling. Have we ever pitched our tent by the fountain of trembling? Have we ever been worried and afraid? That's where the children of Israel are. The Midianites are down in the valley. And if you look at through this whole account, you'll see where Gideon's got about 32,000 men. Sounds like a lot of men. The only problem is the Midianites have a host of 135,000. So they're outnumbered by over 100,000 men. Lord says you got too many men, Gideon. The Lord tells him, the people, this is verse 2 of Judges 7, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. You see, the Lord knows what all Adam nature's like. And all Adam nature's like, look at me. Look what I can do. Look what I did. And the Lord said, if it's not abundantly clear that the victory of this battle came by my hand and by my strength, Israel will take credit for it. Do we see any men trying to take credit for what the Lord does today? Think we do. And the Lord deserves all the glory and all the praise for what he's done. So the Lord tells Gideon to call down the army. He first of all says, just tell the folks who all of you are scared. If you're scared, you can go home. Well, he has 32,000. And when he said that, 22,000 left. They were scared. There's 10,000 left. You know what the Lord says, Gideon? You still got too many men. So 10,000 against a host of over 135,000. And God says, Gideon, you still got too many men. He takes them down by the water's edge. And some men bow down upon their knees, face down, and drink water. And about 300 of the men actually take water up in their hands, and they drink, bring it up to their mouth and drink it and lap it like a dog. And the Lord says, Gideon, by those 300 men, you're going to save Israel. Bible never tells why the Lord picked those men. I rather suspect, and as being one that has to watch for the enemy myself in my job, I rather suspect it's because the 300 were watching for the enemy, and they were also watching for the victory that the Lord would bring. You know, we as the people of God, when the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord would say, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. We ought to be watching for the enemy, and we ought to be watching for the great deliverance that the Lord will bring. So the Lord tells them to go, and the Lord gives Gideon another sign, and we're running out of time to go into it. But he again confirms to Gideon, yes, Gideon, I've called you to do this. So Gideon takes his 300 men, and in the middle watch of the night, he surrounds the camp of the Midianites with only 300 men. Again, they have a host of 135,000. In the Israelites' hands, there's a trumpet in the right hand, and there's a lamp in a pitcher in their left hand. And that's all they got. They don't have a weapon because the Lord's going to win this battle. There's no weapon in the hands of the Israelites. So upon the command of Gideon, they are to blow on those 300 trumpets, and they're to break the clay pitchers so that the light can shine forth. So upon the command of Gideon, all of a sudden the Midianites see those 300 lights all around them, and they hear the blast of 300 trumpets. Now I'm going to tell you, you just blast two or three trumpets at me, gets my attention. But 300 trumpets, I'll tell you, the Lord blessed it to scare the enemy so bad that the enemy began to kill one another. And God Almighty blessed Israel to have a great and wondrous victory that day. You know who got the glory for it? The Lord got the glory. There wasn't even a weapon in the hand of the Israelites. There's another sweet lesson in that the Lord's put a light within all of us in regeneration. It's like a light in a clay pitcher, and our flesh is like an old clay pitcher. You know, when the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount told his disciples, he said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The light the Lord's put within us in regeneration, it's always shining. That light's never going off because it's lit and it's kept lit by the power of God. But our old flesh can block the light and keep others from seeing it. We need to break that old flesh. Gideon was afraid. He needed to break his flesh and find his strength was not in himself, but his strength was in the Lord. You know, when Gideon died, the children of Israel were pretty faithful to the Lord in the life of Gideon. And after he died, they immediately went back in the false worship of pagan gods. Gideon had said, "I'm poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. I can't make a difference. I'm too weak." But I'll tell you, by the power of God, the Lord blessed Gideon to make a tremendous and wondrous difference in the day in which he lived. And I'll tell you, little child of God, though we're all weak, though we're all poor in Manasseh, and though we may be the least in our father's house, the same Lord that blessed Gideon with victory is the same Lord that's able to bless us with victory in our life. And the same Lord that blessed Gideon to be able to make a positive difference in the day in which he lived is the same Lord that's able to bless us to make a positive difference in 2023 where we live. I pray I'll trust him. I'll pray I'll trust in his strength and trust in his promise that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. May God richly bless you is my prayer.